Well, it's good to be back. If I really wasn't away, I did Zoom in for both services, so don't know if you felt my presence, but my presence was with you. Really good words by Terry and Steve. Yeah. You know, the Zoom is nice because you're informed, but there's nothing like being here. You know, to be in the presence of the Lord with you guys is, you know, heaven to me. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want nothing more than to really see your presence manifest amongst us. So I pray that every person here would encounter you as we share your word, whether it's just feel you, whether it's you speak to them, whatever it looks like is fine. I just pray that they encounter you. And I ask this in your blessed name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So there's someone that comes to the church that when they first started coming, everyone know Larry Freeman? He's usually here, right? Remember when he first came here, you like, hunted me down, introduced himself, said he had mere years ago, and he said he had, God spoke to him, right? He said, I heard him, he said one word. This is what we're going to talk about today. Lukewarm, one word, lukewarm. So we're going to talk about this. I've never talked about this. I've never been a revelations person. My end is with God, so what's there to look at for me? And knowing all the things that are happening, I think are fine and good, and there's those that give their lives and devotion to that, and they share it so we can all be better informed. But I just have security in knowing my end already, so what happens before then is almost irrelevant for me. So I've never really looked at this, but growing up, I remember thinking about it. You know, lukewarm wasn't a good thing. You better be hot for Jesus or you're going to be hot in hell. You know, it was almost a lot of things growing up was a fear-based approach to God. Okay? I don't believe in a fear-based approach to God. Specifically because God is love and perfect love casts out all fear. So how can you have a fear-based approach to God? And I was looking at this passage because it's never left me the impact it had on Larry. And I believe there's a word for us going next year, and no, this isn't the New Year's service yet, but I believe this is a word that's going to be carrying us forth into next year. So I want you to pay attention, but I also want you to be listening to the heart of God because I believe God wants to speak to each and every one of you in the midst of all this. Okay? So Revelations 3, starting at verse 15. He's speaking to the Laodicean church. The Laodicean church is one of wealth. They're a financial institution-based community. They're very affluent people. He says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. So that's not a pleasant expression. Okay? You know, usually if something's good in my mouth, I swallow. Okay? If something's not good in my mouth, I spit it out. But there's several things in here that I think he's speaking or showing to me that I want to share with you that hopefully bring a different twist to how you've thought about this before, because I believe there's a kingdom perspective that we can apply this to our lives right now. Because how many of you know you're in the kingdom of God right now? It's not something that takes place after you leave this earthen vessel. Right now, you're in the kingdom of God. You have kingdom purposes right now to accomplish. So it says several things here. It says, I know your deeds. Definition of deeds is work or action that carries out to completion an inner desire, intention, or purpose. So I know your deeds. How many know your deeds show others something? How many know your lack of deeds show other people something? I always thought about the verse, they will know you're his disciples by your love for one another. Well, how do they know you love one another? There is an activity or action, a behavior that takes place that is demonstrable, however you want to say it, that is shown. It's demonstrated. People know it. People see it. They can identify it and say, wow, that person really loves that person. You know, I've had people come up to me and say, oh, you know, I just love the fact of how much you love your wife. Well, my wife will say, do you even love me? Oh, how much you love your girls. It just shows. They see something. Now, Jesus here is saying, I know your deeds. Your deeds speak to heaven. So there's a key here you have to get, but it's not a works-based mentality, so don't fall into that trap. I want you to understand, your work or action that carries out to completion, really important to get that. You don't start something and stop something for God. If God calls you to start something, he's called you to finish something. How many of you know that what God has started in you, he will finish in you? Why? Because he's not lukewarm. That you are neither cold nor hot, I wish you were either one or the other. So I always read this and thought, you have to be hot. You have to be on fire for the Lord, right? And this word hot, you know, it's not like hot. It is boiling, scalding, it is overwhelmingly hot. You know, I like my coffee hot. I don't like my coffee where it's going to burn me. Okay? But my coffee hot is pleasant to me. If I want refreshed, I want an ice cold glass of water. I don't like room temperature water. It does not much for me. Even though it may hydrate my body, it gives me no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction unless it's cold. There's ice in mine. There's a purpose for either one. Now, in the Laodicean church, their water supply was miles away. So they understood what God was talking about when he's talking this way. Why? Because the hot water wouldn't be hot by the time it got to them, and the cold water wouldn't be cold by the time it got to them. They were too far away. Their aqueducts brought it more to room temperature. What good was it? So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. The word lukewarm here really means complacent or apathetic. You know, I've been in church my whole life, and I've seen a lot of complacency. There's no complacency in the kingdom of God. None. There's rest and there's peace within activity. So, he says something here. I wish. Ever thought God had to wish? He can just say and everyone has to do, right? But this phrase, I wish, actually is used to express an unattainable result. So what's he really saying? He's saying, I can't make you hot or cold. I'm not going to make you hot or cold. So what does that mean? It means you have a responsibility in the kingdom of God. It's time the people of God become responsible and accountable for kingdom activity. This is a call for us for this coming year. So in all of this, I said, what are you trying to say? Because I always thought, you know, you're just telling me it's revival or bust. Everybody has to be so on fire and on display that otherwise we're just, you know, not living the life. It's really not what he's saying to me. Not what I believe he wants to say to you. Here's what he wants to say. A kingdom citizen is always useful to the king. You are a vessel in the kingdom of God for the king's use. This coming season we're going into, it's called a new year. You are to be useful to the king. Useful is helpful towards a purpose. One of you spoke on it and you brought up the parable of the talents. You talked about expectations. I think it was Steve talked about the talents. No, he talked about the 10 versions. Good stuff. And I could use all of those in here. But it's interesting within the story of the talents is that each one had a purpose and they were given something to accomplish. And the one that didn't accomplish anything was the one that functioned in fear and did nothing but bury it, right? And what happened? He got spit out. See, you need to be useful with what God's given you. I want to say this once for everybody, because there was a reference that I was getting old. Okay. So for all those that may feel that way, there is no retirement in the kingdom of God. As long as you have breath on this earth, you are useful to the king. Do not ever discard yourself from service to the king. If you have breath, you have purpose. And God is a God of purpose. Otherwise, he'd take you. Jesus demonstrated this best when he said, didn't you know that I would be about the Father's business? That's a demonstration of not being lukewarm, is that you are constantly useful to the king. So I was pondering this, and lately the Lord has me in a different place. Instead of really getting into study, I am more in conversation with God about what is what and what do you want said and how do you want it said and what does this look like, and okay, I don't get it, so you're going to have to say something while I'm standing and babbling so people can get something. That's kind of how it's worked, right? It's not the most comfortable place to be, but I've learned to accept it. And I felt like he gave me three things. And I thought, okay, I can't put this together, so you got to put something together for me. So here's how it is, and you can tell me later if he put something together for you. Okay? To be useful. One of the things you need to be useful is to be willing. Okay? Psalms 51:12 says, restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit. You know, don't separate those two. The joy of your salvation should yield a willing spirit in you to sustain you. Luke 22:42 says this, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And we're talking about activity in the kingdom of God. How do we live now as kingdom citizens? We have to daily say, okay, not my will, God. I want to be useful to the king. Your will be done. I have to be willing. I have to be willing daily to surrender all of me to all of him. There's a reason it says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Most of the problems we encounter on a day-to-day basis is we think we're still alive. Time to die. Where did that attitude come from? I resurrected Bruce. He has an attitude. He needs to stay buried. Really? You don't get to accomplish what you want to accomplish this day unless you, what you want to accomplish is what he wants to accomplish in you. Because it's not your will unless your will is surrendering to his. That's the will of a kingdom citizen. Mark 1:40 says, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can come make me clean. Jesus was indignant. Now, there's a lot of emotion that goes with that word. You can't just read those. Yeah, he was indignant. It really bothered him. No, he was upset. He was angry. He was, I'd like to. He was indignant. If I'm willing. He reached out his hand and touched the man and said, I am willing. He said, be clean. See, Jesus demonstrated willingness. Kingdom citizens need to demonstrate willingness. Mark 14:38 says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There's a reason why the Word of God says we're supposed to live by the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit is willing to serve the King. The flesh is done away with. Quit talking about your flesh. Quit identifying with your flesh. It's been done away with. It was purchased, bought for, dead, buried with Christ. You don't live by the flesh in the kingdom of God. We give way too much attention to the things that were dead and buried. Satan has no authority over you. What are you concerned about Satan for at all? At best, he's a nuisance that you say, yeah, get behind me. Not today. You have no place. Don't give him place. Don't give your flesh place. It's dead. Well, sin. No, sin is crucified. And if you're dead and Christ lives in you, sin is dead. He doesn't sin. There is no sin in the kingdom of heaven. I get so tired of people that want to chain themselves to sin. Not really part of the message, but it's part of being willing. Quit chaining yourself. No, being willing isn't enough, though. It's an attribute, but it's not enough. You have to be prepared. You say, what do you mean? Well, if I go home and I have an electrical problem, some of you may not know, I'm not an electrician. I might be willing to play with it. Wouldn't be the wisest thing. Call somebody prepared.
Second Timothy 2:21 says, those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Now, by the time we're done with this session, this section right here, the prepared section, you better feel prepared.
Why? Because you're going to see verse after verse as he's already done it in you. We need to quit denying what he has already done. Remember I said, deeds aren't a works-based mentality. He's completed you already. And he is complete in you already. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes. You are an instrument for God to play. made holy. You are what? You are what? Quit talking about the other crap. Quit trying to convince yourself of the stuff you're not. He has completed a work in you. Useful to the master and prepared to do any good work.
2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
How many of you have a Bible? How many of you have a cell phone? How many of you have a computer with internet? You all have scripture. All scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful to equip you for every good work. You're without excuse. You are prepared. Don't tell me you're not prepared. Don't lie to yourself. If God's called you and assigned you to do something, He has fully prepared you and equipped you to accomplish it. Really, He's saying, I want to do something today. Come join me. Let's go on an adventure, because you're going to be amazed. That's really what He's saying. But most of them go, oh, I can't do that. Why did it become about you all of a sudden when God says, let's go on an adventure? It's about Him, and you get to go on an adventure. Kids love adventures. What happened to us? You guys don't understand how fun heaven is. You don't understand how fun the kingdom of heaven on earth right now is. Life is joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. It's a wild, adventurous ride. We should come in, jump in, and bop in. This should almost be like a mosh pit. You got to do it, yay!
Hebrews 13:20 says, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, that God equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. May the God of peace equip you for every good work. Well, I need to be equipped.
Are you telling me God's failed you? You know, God really must have just wanted to smack Moses when he said he couldn't speak. Really? Do you know who you're having a conversation with? If He's asking you to do something with Him, He'll do it. Have fun. Useful to the King.
Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork. You are what?
You are handy for work.
Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared
in advance for us to do. He's not only prepared you, He's prepared the ground. If He's sending you there, it's ready for you.
Ephesians 4:11, so Christ Himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We need to be willing. We need to be prepared. But those in of itself still aren't enough.
I can be willing and be prepared and plant my butt and do nothing. You know, when people are sitting in the pews at church that are called to minister the gospel, to open their mouth, to share, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the... Well, you mean you have to speak. You have to share what God's done in your life. That's how you overcome. And we plant ourselves. We think we put in an hour and a half with God and we're good. I mean, you know, 24/7, kingdom of God is where you're at and it's active. All the time. All the time. God wants to relate with you. God has stuff for you to do and it's fun. You need to be useful. So what's the last thing that I want to talk about? If willing and prepared is enough, the last attribute that I want to talk about is that you have to engage. James 1:22 says this, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says." And I highlighted it. I bolded on mine. Do. See, that's an action word. You'll see some of that in these. James 2:17, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action or works, is dead." Remember, deeds. I know your deeds. I want you to get this. He knows your deeds. For some of you, that should make you feel uncomfortable. That's like an ouch word, really. Not to condemn you. I'm just saying he wants to use you. He wants you to be useful. He has plans for you. He wants you to have fun with him. God's constantly, daily coming to you, knocking, saying, "Come out and play. Come out and play. Let's go play." Really? You don't think of God that way, do you? You should. James 2:26 says, "The body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." And you'll relate to all of these. 1 John 3:18. "Children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth." Being willing, being prepared isn't enough. You have to do. Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." In Philippians 4:9, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice." Do it. "And the God of peace will be with you." I'm so anxious about doing that. The God of peace will be with you. See, we're heading into a season where you need to be useful. We're not heading into a season where you can be complacent or be apathetic in the kingdom of God. You have to be useful. You have to be engaged. You have to be willing. You have to be prepared. You have to be engaged. How many of you already know, don't be looking for your leadership or the person sitting next to you to spur you on to something that God has already done in you. I don't know if you're willing, but I know if he's called you and you answer, he has prepared you. No excuse to say you're not prepared. If God's calling you to a purpose, he's pulling you off, that's the vessel I want to use for this. You're prepared. You're equipped. He's ready for you to engage. So you have to be willing, prepared, and you have to engage. So what stops us? And there's a lot of them, but I'm only going to deal with two. Mainly because I'm thinking of me. Is that okay? A lot of times when I'm talking to God, I almost feel like he's sharing stuff about me to me, and I just write it. Those concepts down, and then I share them with you. you then kind of point them to you. Well, I figure, you know, I need company in this. So hope that's okay. But one thing I even to this day still struggle with. Confession. Fear. How many of you are have been parents? How many are grandparents? How many of you know that as a grandparent, I question the parenting skills of my kids? They're not even watching them. They're just enjoying life. And fear. That can turn into anxiety. It can turn into stress. That can affect all kinds of things, right? What really is that? It's really what happened to Peter when he jumped out of the boat. He took his eyes off Jesus. See, because when you gaze into the face of perfect love, there is no fear. So when fear exists and hinders me from being useful, all it means is I've taken my eyes off of gazing at the beauty of His majesty, and I have it on other things. Refocus. It's that simple. So, 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. You can apply the same thing to trust. Why are you concerned with that? Do I trust him? If I do, I'm not concerned about it. It's that simple to say, right? But we're challenged with these things daily. But these are things that hinder us from being useful. 2 Timothy 1:7, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid or fear, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. I thought this was a wonderful verse. Say, why are you saying this? Because he already knew you had this issue and he already took care of it. What'd I say? He already knew you'd have this issue. Fear to hinder you. So what did he do? He gave you his Spirit. That gives you power, love, and self-discipline. The answer to fear is living in the Spirit which resides in you. Most of the issues we have, He's already answered. Psalms 34:4, I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. So how do you deal with this hindrance of fear? Accept His deliverance. Accept His answer. Refocus your eyes. Does it turn your eyes upon Jesus? Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You can't be hindered by fear if you're gazing at Him. You can't be hindered by fear if you're fully engaged with the activity of the Holy Spirit in your life. Engage. You're fully prepared. You are fully equipped. The Spirit of the living God who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you as a vessel in the kingdom of God. So what's the other hindrance that came up in my mind? We've talked about this for years. Lack of identity. I can't do this. I don't see myself. I never saw myself standing up before you guys talking. Last thing I do. You want to know where my comfort zone is? Off the second or third pew, right up in the corner, right up there. So if God would just let me be with my peaceful will that Bruce really enjoys, you know, that's where I'd be. It's a nice spot. I was up there once when we had, what's the cross in the Nikki Cruz? Yeah, He was here, the place was packed, and I got to sit up there. It's a great place to be. Only problem was there's some people up there that he called out, and you felt like he was pointing at you. Yeah. So you thought it was comfortable, all of a sudden it wasn't. But, you know, there has to be the place in you to say, okay, if I'm not useful there, I want to be where I'm useful. And he gets to determine your usefulness and how it's used and where it's used. So whatever I do, if I'm doing it unto the Lord, you chose me. There is no inadequacy in me. None. Why? Because he chose me. And if he chose me, he's equipped me. He's prepared me to do whatever he asked me to do, period. In the story, I can't convince myself of anything else. Otherwise, I'm lacking identity. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, we could spend a year just in this verse. It's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you to identify what God speaks over you. And not what goes through your stinking thinking. And, you know, I enjoy when people come up to me and share, but so much of what is shared is stinking thinking. Now, I really don't smack anybody to say that's stinking thinking. I don't. But there's part of me that says, God, I want to see them delivered of this. Because if they would just turn their eyes upon you, their perspective would change and they wouldn't agree with this lie at all. Second Corinthians 5:20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. You are seated in heavenly places, active in the kingdom of God, heaven on earth, as an ambassador of heaven to show this world what heaven looks like. You have an assignment. As though God were making his appeal through you. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You are everything right about God. Everything. So go show yourself off. Really. You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? Hide it under a bushel. No. All those fun songs we used to do. First off, you're not a little light. There's no bushel that could be put over that you wouldn't burn up. You are blazing like the sun. Just go show yourself off. Why? Because you have a purpose in the kingdom of God to be useful for his glory. Romans 8:37, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. There is nothing this world can throw at you that you can't overcome. Now, it may not look like how you want it to look like. That doesn't mean you can't rise above it. In all these things, you are more than a conqueror. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? It's a big saying. If I need to say it again, I'll say it again. What are you identifying with? I used to look in the mirror and not like what I saw. I love what I see. Every little what I see as imperfection, God loves. If he loves it, I should love it. Why he chose this? He has some comedic value. Right? Who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your vessel. Again, we're talking about identity. If you think this is yours, then you're going to use it for purposes that aren't His. First John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You know, I love Scripture because it speaks itself. You know, we call it preaching and teaching, but it really does it itself. You know why? Because it's alive. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Yeah, identification. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, loved me and gave himself for me. Hindrances of fear and lack of identity do not exist in the kingdom of God. So watch what you're looking at and watch what you're identifying with. So, in all of this, I believe we're headed into a season of being useful. I'm going to ask you guys to stand with me as I wrap this up. I also believe we're headed into a season where the altars are always going to be open, and we have a responsibility to see them filled. You know, I'm tired of hearing that we're going to be a house of healing and a house of miracles, and we never demonstrate squat. And that shouldn't make anybody upset, really. What am I saying? We have to give opportunity to pray for healing. We have to give opportunity to pray for miracles. You know, if I expect to see miracles, but I sit in my room all the time, I'm not going to see many. Except maybe the one time I walk out and they say, oh, it's a miracle. Right? If we're going to be useful, it requires doing something. So, in conclusion, we are going to do something. Got it? Okay. So, our purpose for today, I have two things to do. One, there is way too many physical needs in this body. Way too many. I'm tired of it. Just being honest. I don't care how old you are. Don't care. It's irrelevant to me. Be 120 and be as healthy as can be, and God can take you when God wants to take you. Period. It's that simple. Health should be the norm in this house. Period. Okay, so when we call, if you have a physical need, I want you to come over to this side, and we're going to pray for our physical needs, okay, when we call. Otherwise, if you're not getting prayed over for a physical need or you're not ministering to somebody with a physical need, here's what I want us to do. Because here's what I think is important in all of this, is that every day and every moment of every day, we do this. We present ourselves as a useful vessel. So Romans 12:1 says this, this way, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer or present, in other versions, your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. How many of you know you are holy and you are pleasing? How many of you know you can be holy and pleasing and sit in the pew and not be useful? No more. You are going to be holy and pleasing and present yourself. You're going to be useful to God. This is your true and proper worship. So, you are either going to be up here getting prayed for or ministered to or ministering, or you're going to be presenting yourself. Those are your other only two options. You don't get to leave. You don't go to anything else. That's what you're going to do. Because that's what he's asking you to do. So we're going to pray, ask you to put on some music. And I want you to allow the Holy Spirit, if you have physical need, come. If you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit to come minister to those that have a physical need, come and minister to them. Otherwise, I want you to take time at the altar and present yourself. God speaks to you. It might be for today, it might be for season, but he wants to use you, and he's going to show you the things that he wants you to walk through him with. And you should want to do it because it's an adventure. It's going to be fun. So Heavenly Father, I bless your people. I thank you for the word. I thank you that you have more for them than they can even realize. I thank you that you're even now changing our hearts, our passions, our desires for more of you, for more of your kingdom, to see you honored and glorified in this life now. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this place and in every vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. Please come.